the Lord for his goodness.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You have your Bible open to Psalm 103. This morning, God has laid upon my heart to do something just a little different than normally what I would do. And so I hope you'll bear with me as I do what I feel like is God's will. And I have a list of some things that we'll consider after the preaching hour of helping a family of the church that we're sending some supplies down to that are getting it out into the community at Flat Rock, North Carolina, which is right there by Asheville. And we'll go over that when we're through with this most important part of today, and that is the preaching of the Word of God. God has been good.
Amen.
And that's what we're talking about here in this psalm. In this past week has been a roller coaster of emotion for me on a lot of different levels. First of all, to just have God deal with my heart about an unthankful spirit. And I don't want to be unthankful. But I tell you right now, I'm bent that way. I just am. And I don't like it. And I need God to help me. It's just this old flesh. This old flesh doesn't want to give God the glory. It just doesn't. If we're going to worship God today, it's going to be in spirit and in truth. And we may get our flesh involved in somehow displaying what our spirit is feeling or acknowledging. When our spirit wants to worship, it will use our flesh as instruments of righteousness, Paul wrote in Romans 6, unto God. But it'll only be from a willing spirit. And God knows my heart. I want to have a willing spirit. But there's a part of me that is ugly and dark. It's the flesh. And I'm not talking about vice. I'm talking about something that I consider worse than vice. It's worse than a drug. It's dark. It's realizing all that God has done. Every word of that song that was just sang, it's realizing that it's all true. And yet there's something in me that doesn't want to rise up and say, glory to God, it's true. And I think that's what David is doing here. In Psalm 101, if you'll notice, as we looked at briefly last week, he said, bless the Lord. Look at that. Oh, my soul. It's like David is making a request of his soul. You would think that being a child of God, that experiencing all that David had experienced. I mean, we're talking about a man after God's own heart. You would think that it would just be spontaneous. And that David would just automatically praise God for his goodness. But there's something dark in us, brethren. And I found it in verse number 3. It's iniquity. It's iniquity. And we'll get there in just a moment. There's sin, there's transgression, and then there's iniquity. If you'll notice, in verse number 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins. In verse number 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions. But here in verse number 3, he said, he forgiveth all our iniquities. You say, well, they're all the same, preacher. No, they're not. No, they're not. But before I get to that, I just want to, you know, I don't want you to think that I'm being pure emotion here. I just want the devil to know that I'm going to give God the glory whether this old flesh wants to or not, whether the devils of hell like it or not, whether the people in the community like it or not, and perhaps even some in the church like it or not. I'm going to give God the glory. And I pray that you would join me. Brethren, there is something wrong with a people that will not acknowledge that God is to receive all the glory. And I'm not just, listen, I'm not speaking about a church family. I'm just talking about God's people in general. We're just broken. And we need God to help us. We sit on our church pews and our church chairs, and we have all that our heart could hope for. We just heard it in song. You know, beyond our wildest dreams. How many of you sitting here with any amount of age on you whatsoever could have ever imagined that you would be in the place that you're in today by the grace of God? And yet, purely by the grace of God, here we are today. I say, to God be the glory. To God be the glory, brethren. It's not a man, it's not a preacher, it's not a family, it's not a book, it's not a program, it's not a method. It's God, brethren. It's all of God. God did this for me. God did this for you. God has done this. There's no human explanation for it. And I think that's what David is saying. He summons in his soul and he's saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. What's wrong with you? It's like he's saying, what is wrong with me? Why am I not blessing God more? It's like he's saying, rise up in me. Give God the glory. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. May all that makes me up give glory to God. All of my soul, all of my heart, all of my mind, all of me. Bless his holy name. This week as I was meditating on that, God just brought some psalms to my heart. And I want to share them with you. I'm just going to share some psalms this morning. Psalms are songs of praise. Psalms are experiential. They're songs that the children of Israel would sing oftentimes as they marched up to the temple. And I just want you to listen to some of these psalms and just think about the experiential part of them that David and some of the authors of the psalms, as they would write this music, what were they doing? They were blessing the Lord. Even this, David put in a song. I read a statement this week and I thought, that's me. And the statement went something like this. There's just these places and these experiences that we as God's people have that no words can tell. No matter how we try, we just can't frame it properly into words. You know what I'm saying? You just can't put it into words, maybe something that God is doing or has done for you. It's just like it defies explanation. I think you know what I'm talking about. I start to say, have you ever experienced that? But if you're saved, you have. You just can't explain it. It's like a strength. That you know, that's God. You can't explain it. But you just know, when you should be broken, and I'm looking across this congregation, and there are people that should be broken. And they should be just on their, just tore down. But yet, they're sitting in church this morning, and they're sitting there, and there's no way they can explain it. But they know deep in their soul, this is God. This is God. And if you're not sitting here this morning that way, you have been. You know there's just times that God has has showed up in your life and he was working in your situation. You couldn't explain it. If you tried to tell somebody, you just couldn't explain it. Brethren, that's God. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou wert mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish and the sea, all the sheep and the oxen, and whatsoever passeth through the pass of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Amen. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Oh, my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my God, my goodness extendeth to thee. But to the saints that are in the earth and to the their drink and offerings, the blood will I offer, nor take up thy name unto my lips. The Lord is my portion and my inheritance. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in reins. They also in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Don't we have a goodly heritage? You know, I thank God for the goodly heritage that he has given me. I'm thankful that God said, you know, right here, I'm getting ready to change it for you. Did God change it for you? God changed the heritage of my life, of my family, of my lineage. And I praise God for that. I don't take that for granted. I don't want to, but if I'm not careful, I will. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh shall also rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, nor wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. You know, when I read a statement like that and the one to follow, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb, I have to say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. God has left us a precious book, brethren. And in this book is wisdom. In this book is the knowledge of the will of God. The things that are in this book are more to be desired than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And yet, if we're not careful, it'll sit on an end table or a coffee table and not be open. I'm not fussing. I'm speaking to myself. This is the Word of God. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away. But the word of our Lord shall stand forever. These are eternal words. By these words, Thy servant is warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. See, this is the way I want to live my life. Right here. This. He went on to say, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from God, the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Who is this King of glory, brethren? The psalmist asked. And then he said, the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. And then he asked again, who is this King of glory? Who is this one that David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name. Who is this King of glory, brethren? Do we really believe that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father? Do we really believe that this Jesus is alive and well and that he is coming back one day? Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. I will bless the Lord. Now watch it now. At all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. David, when you're winning victories and when things are going your way, will you bless the Lord? He said, I will bless the Lord. David, when Saul is on your trail and it looks like that things are not going to end up well for you, and it looks like that you're never going to attain the throne, and you're wondering how this thing's going to end, David, will you bless the Lord then? He said, I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times, brethren. See, this is where I want to be. This is where I want to be. I want to be a man after God's own heart like this. I'm not. I want to be. I want to bless the Lord at all times. I could tell you that I do, but it's not real. We have to confront ourselves where we are. And David wrote this song and he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. In the good times, in the bad times. When things are going good and when things are not. Will you say with me, God, I want to bless you at all times. God, help me to bless you at all times. But God, I'm going to need you to do a work in my life. I'm going to need you to do something in my heart. There's just a part of me that doesn't want to bless you at all times. I'm sorry, Lord, but that's my heart. You know my heart. There's just a part of me that doesn't want to bless you at all times. And David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise, now watch this, shall continually be in my mouth. We were talking about this in our Sunday school class this morning. Boy, it's so easy to get down in the mouth, isn't it? It's so easy to fall in and start complaining and have the woe is me and I'm just going through a terrible time and everything's going bad. And listen, I realize that sometimes that's just the hand that life deals us. But yet David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. David said, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, he said. See, this is the man that said, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, all that is within me. This just wasn't some emotional moment that David had when he was writing this song. This was a way of life that David was after. David didn't want this to be like a one-time occurrence and let me just rise up and bless the Lord and then let it be over. No, David said, I'm attaining to this. I want to bless the Lord at all times. I want His praise to continually be in my mouth. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Can you testify to that this morning? They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Brethren, I think there's something that is killing our churches, killing our preachers. It's crept in the back door. We have put guards at the front door to make sure that certain sin and vice would not enter into our camp. We have put guards around our heart and said, I don't want to be guilty of this lust or guilty of this vice or guilty of this act. And in the back door has come the sin of ingratitude. And we have become comfortable with being unthankful. To the place to where that when we get around people that are thankful, I've actually had people ask, what's wrong with you? I was sharing with the Sunday school class this morning, you know, you go to work tomorrow and you're smiling and you're praising God and you're whistling or you're singing an old hymn. And somebody inevitably is going to come up to you and say, what's wrong with you? Hey, what's wrong is when we're not happy, not when we are. Brethren, we have so much to be happy about. Amen. You say, but now, preacher, I've got this situation, and I understand that, and I'm not minimizing the hardship in people's lives. We all have hardship, some right now more than others. But David said, would you just bless Him at all times? Could you find it to be upon your lips to thank Him, even in the hard times? In honesty, can't we say that, you know, if the only time I can praise God is when things are going good, there's something wrong with me. Amen. I want to praise God when things are not going good. I didn't say I did. I have. But I need God to help me to be more consistent. And so David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land. You feel like we're in a dry and thirsty land, brethren? We're in a dry and thirsty land. We're living in a land where people used to praise God with regularity. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Used to be the hymn of the church. And now it's as though that everything has to go just right in my life. And I might say amen, or I might say praise the Lord. Could you imagine what it would be like if just this congregation of folks gathered a heart full of continual praise? Could you imagine how it would change our homes and our church, our community? And the psalmist repeatedly, and I've written down psalm after psalm where the psalmist is just repeatedly praising God. It convicted my heart, and I said, God, I'm sorry. I'm going to spend more time in the Psalms. Maybe it'll rub off on me. I've been in the Proverbs seeking wisdom. I should have been in the Psalms seeking thanksgiving. Let me read just a couple of more. And I do have a thought I want to give you before I close this morning. It's a good thing, Psalm 92 says, to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth the fool understand this. When the wicked spring as grass, and all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered, but my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of the unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see the desire of mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear the desire of the wicked that rise up. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. David just praising God, just thanking God. Enemies, thanking God. Things not going his way, thanking God. Things didn't turn out the way he thought it was going to, thanking God. See, this is what I'm after. I can't control what you'll go after in your life, what you pursue. But brethren, God has spoke to my heart, and I must share it with you. This is where many are missing it. We need to learn what it is to be thankful again. If you're still in Psalm 103, I want to share this with you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. David said, I just want to praise the Lord. I just want to give God honor. I just want to give him glory. I don't want this life to be about me. I don't want this life to be about what I accomplish, what I'm looking to be in life. I want my life to be defined by thanksgiving. And then he said in verse number 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forgetting all of his benefits. You know, I think these things go together. How are we constantly going to be praising the Lord? How are we constantly going to be blessing the Lord? I think it's found in verse number 2. Do you know, I've done a study in the scripture, and I found that people that are unthankful are very forgetful. But people that are thankful remember. You know, the children of Israel, when they were going through the wilderness, they were not very thankful. They were constantly murmuring and complaining. You know what they constantly had to be told? Read the book of Deuteronomy sometimes. Forget not, forget not, forget not. Remember, 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 forget not, forget not. You know why? Because they were not thankful. It's almost as they felt that God owed them the manna. God, you owe us this quail. God, you owe us this. And they were unthankful, and because of that, it caused them to have a forgetful mind and a forgetful spirit, even a heart of unbelief. But when we're thankful, it helps us to remember. Notice how he tied it in here in verse number 2. He said, bless the Lord and don't forget. See, when we're mindful of God's blessings, it helps us to remember His goodness. It helps us to remember that what God has done in our lives. And He said, don't you forget all of His benefits now. Why? Because that's going to help you bless the Lord. That's why. When you begin to think all that God's done for you, you know, there's an old song that the old timers used to sing, and we just don't sing it much in churches anymore that I know of. Now, maybe there's churches that still sing it quite often, but I think around Thanksgiving we'll drag out, count your blessings. But there was a time when the saints of God used to sing that with regularity. You know why? Because they were counting their blessings. And again, let's see who we can make feel guilty and let's shame people. This is, can we awaken to the fact that something has slipped and we have grown unthankful? We have grown almost to where we feel privileged, like God owes us this stuff. Instead of bowing down before the Lord and saying, God, thank you so much for your blessings on us, we just take it in stride and go on. Hey, can I ask you a couple of personal questions before I get to my final point this morning? Can I just get personal with you? Supposing that someone invited your family to their house, and you get there and you find the table spread with your favorite meal, and you go in. Well, let me change that. Supposing you invite a family to your house, and you learn what this family's favorite meal is, and so you go to every extreme to fix their favorite dishes. And you lay it out, and you roll out the red carpet, and they come in, and they eat, and you give them a good meal, and you give them good dessert, and they sit there and eat, and then no sooner than they're finished, they get up and say, well, we got to go now. And then they leave. Not a thank you. Not an, oh, you knew my favorite dish. You fished this for me? Just nothing. They just came and they ate and they got up and they left. Now you say, well, now, preacher, I didn't do it for them to say thank you. Well, I understand that, but you know, a thank you goes a long way. Wouldn't you feel kind of slighted? Come on, church. Sure you would. Wouldn't you feel kind of slighted? Like, man, you know, I went out of my way. I put a lot of effort and work, and I found out some things about them. I've done some research to find out what they liked, and I wanted to spread this out. I wanted this to be special for them. Can I tell you, God does that for me every day. God does that for me every day. And I don't want to get up from the table and wipe my mouth and walk out and never say, God, thank you so much. But if I'm not careful, I'm apt to. And I've done it before. God just constantly is blessing me. Maybe I'm the only one getting blessed. I don't know, but God's blessing me. And it's just making me feel just terrible. You say, you ought to be praising God. I know, that's why I feel terrible. I can never praise Him enough for as good as He's been to me. And yet I find myself like David saying, come on, soul, get up. Get up. What's wrong with you? I have to constantly remind myself and summons myself, come on, what's wrong? What would you do if that family was invited the second time and they got up and walked out without saying thank you again? Would you invite them back? You say, preacher, I might give them that third strike. Amen. But then they got up and walked out again. Can I tell you that you're looking at a man that God has blessed over and over and over again? And if I'm not careful, I'll be that family. Just get up and walk out. As good as God's been to me. I don't know how. Listen, I believe God's been very good to you. I just wonder if, you know, I was reading this week and God just spoke to my heart and said, when's the last time you just prayed and you didn't pray anything but Thanksgiving? That's all you did. Just said, God, I just want to thank you. I don't want to ask. I just want to say thank you. I'm not asking you to do this. I'm not asking you to give this. I'm not asking you to intervene in this. God, I just came to you to say thank you. I just want to bless you, Lord. That's what David's doing. David's not asking for anything here. He's saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all this is in me. Bless his holy name. Don't ask for anything. I just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you, Lord. Now, I want to turn that around a little bit. So you invite a family now, and they come, and you have the same spread. Same spread. You with me? And they come in, and from the time they come in, they say, well, thank you for having us. Thank you for your hospitality. And then they go in, and they see the spread, and they say, my, somebody's put a lot of work into this. Thank you so much. Who told you this was my favorite dish? Thank you so much. And then they sit there and eat, and the whole time they're eating, they're just, man, this is good. And it's not fake, it's real. Man, this is good. Thank you. And they just go on and on and on the whole time just saying, thank you. Thank you for considering us. Makes a difference, doesn't it? Doesn't it? How do you think God feels? When the children of men sit down at his big table over and over and over again. Just go on like, well, you know, we had it coming. You say, oh, but now, preacher, that's the unjust. And the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. And that's those outside the church. And that's those that have never experienced God's grace. And that's those folks. Well, you know what? It can be us folk, too. It can be us, too. And I'm just saying, let's just do some inventory. That's all. Let's just summons our soul and say, thank you, Lord. God, I'm going to thank you even when I don't feel like thanking you, because I know it's the right thing to do. But God, I would ask you that you would change my heart to help me to see that in everything I want to give thanks. I just want to be a thankful person. God, would you help me to be that? I don't want to take anything for granted. People's kindness to me, God's favor toward me, I don't want to take any of that for granted. I just don't. Listen, if you have a family, you ought to praise God for that. If you have a friend, you ought to praise God for that. You're sitting in a Bible-believing church this morning. The preacher's a little incompetent, but you're in a Bible-believing church this morning. And you heard great music this morning. And I tell you, they're people that would walk miles to be able to do that. And we just need to wake up. I know I do. If no one else does, God, wake me up. God, shake me. I don't want to go through life like this. I don't want to go through life like this. Don't forget his benefits. If you're not careful now, you'll be counting the things you don't have instead of enjoying the things that you do. Been there. How about you? We live in such a super abundant land that if we're not careful, instead of counting the things that we do have, we'll be naming the things that we don't. So what are we to do, preacher? How are we going to change that? How can somebody go from a thankless spirit or not as thankful as we should be to being thankful? I think the answer is in verse number 3. I think the answer to verse number 1 is in verse number 2, and I think the answer to verse number 1 and 2 is in verse number 3. I just do. How am I going to get to the place where I can say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name? By not forgetting all His benefits. Be mindful of them. Hey, if I have to, I'm going to start writing them down. I woke up today. Praise the Lord. I was able not only to wake up, I was able to get up. I got out of my bed today. Praise God. You say, oh, preacher, you're just saying that. I'm just saying it because I'm meaning it. And if I have to, God, help me to just write it down to remember. You didn't have to give me the strength to get out of my bed today. But you did. And I sure am thankful. I ate a meal today. I had a roof over my head. I had a comfortable bed. The list could go on, but if we're not careful, we have all these things and we'll just begin to take them for granted. So how do we get there? Let me close with this. Look, if you would, at verse number 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? What is an iniquity? There's sin, there's transgression, and then there's iniquity. Sin is missing the mark. For all have sinned, now listen carefully, and come short of the glory of God. You miss the mark. What it simply means is there's a target, and there's a bullseye on that target, and you are pulling back your archer. It's an archery's term. And you have dismissed your arrow. And not only did your arrow not hit the bullseye, it didn't even make it to the target. It fell short of the archery board. It fell short. That's what sin is. It's falling short. We're always going to fall short. God has a standard. And because we have a sin nature, we fall short of the standard of God. Because we've sinned, we fall short. We miss the mark. That's what sin is. You understand that? I hope that you do. We miss the mark. But then there's transgression. The word transgression comes from the word trespass. Trespasses and sin. We were dead in trespasses and sin. Trespass. You know what a trespass is? Some people, they post their property. No trespassing. Stay out is basically what they're saying. Don't cross this line. And then some folks go up to that posting and they look at it and then they cross the line. That's trespasses. God says, hey, don't cross this line. And then we, in our rebellion, and by the way, the root to the word trespass is directly connected to the word rebellion. We see the no trespassing sign, but we're going to go on that land anyway. We're going to cross that line anyway. And so there's missing the mark, sin. That's an action. It's falling short. And then there's trespass. That's crossing the line. That's a conduct. You make a decision. I'm going to cross this line. But God said not to. I'm going to do it anyway. There's a rebellion there. But now iniquity. Iniquity. Listen, it is the result. I want you to listen to what God said now about this. If you were to read over in James chapter 1, the Bible says, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, now listen to this, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin, you miss the mark. It's an action. But if it's not dealt with, it's going to lead to trespassing. You will deliberately begin to cross lines. But if that's not dealt with, iniquity. It's perversion. Look the word up. It means twisted. It means bent. It means crooked. That's what the word iniquity means. But God said, I have forgiven all of your perverseness, all of your arrogance, all of your perversion. You say, well, there's nothing perverted about me, preacher. Well, sure there is. Sure there is. But God said, I'm going to forgive it. Are you thankful for that? Are you? I think we view our sins so lightly. And I said we now. We view our sins so lightly. We think because we don't do drugs and or we don't, you know, carouse and get involved in a lot of wantonness, reveling, that we're okay. Hey, can I tell you, gossip is a sin against God. Jealousy is sin. It's twisted. Arrogance. You see what I'm saying? It can become a conduct. And then it can become a character. I want you to stand to your feet. You say, preacher, I think I am a thankful person. Well, that's great. I hope that you are. And I hope that God will bless you and show you great favor and continue to help you to be thankful. I do. But now, if your prayer life and your communication with God is mostly, God, what can you do for me, and how and when can you do it, and will you do it, and there's nothing wrong with asking God to do something for you and to help you in situations, I think we ought to do it more. But at some point, we've got to let our requests be made known. What did Paul say? With thanksgiving. There's got to be some thanksgiving in our prayer life. Could I ask you to do something? For every time you ask God for something this week, would you thank Him for something? Would you monitor that from now to Wednesday night? Would you just do that? I'm telling you, it'll change your life. God has spoken to my heart about this, and I'm still working on it, but I'm gaining. Every time I ask God for something, every time I ask God to do something, I'm thanking Him for what He has done or is doing. Could I ask you to do that? Could I ask you to say, you know what? I'm going to be a person of thanksgiving. And I'm going to thank God for something. When I request something, I'm going to do it with thanksgiving. I'm going to make a request. God, would you help the flood victims? And God, thank you for what you have done already. And thank you for the help that's already gotten there. For the people that are involved. And then make a request and then offer thanksgiving. It'll change the way you pray. And it'll change your mindset on being a person of thanksgiving. And that's all I'm trying to do. That's what God is doing in my life, and I'm just trying to pass it on to you. I want to be thankful, brethren. God revealed some things to me, and I saw an ugly side of me. And I don't want to be unthankful. Ungrateful. I want to be a person of thanksgiving. Let's bow for prayer.